it in the Lord so good. 2023, you see my background. 2023, we made it by God's grace and His mercy. I want to encourage you this year. We're going to get into a message today that's really going to challenge us as we think about all that God wants to do in our lives. A few weeks ago, Lord laid this on my heart. We had repent and change for 2022. For 2023, living epistles. And actually, my daughter, Sarah, she actually drew this. And it really embodies what we're supposed to be as we walk forth in 2023. That scripture, 2 Corinthians 3:2-3, you yourselves are our letter written on our hearts, known and read by everyone. You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on the tablets of human hearts. And that's what God wants us to be as we are entering into this new season. Just want to thank you. If you're a first-time visitor, welcome to 2023 with EBC. Wow, that rhymes. Being with us, please go to our website. There's information there. If you're not saved, man, would you consider accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, confessing with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believing in your heart that God is raising from this, that you will be saved. He is amazing. He will change your heart. He's the only one that can change your heart. So we just thank the Lord for what He's doing at Ebenezer. Also, don't forget to download the church app. Man, we have special notifications. Actually, we had some special things that pop up just in the last few days or so, that if you have those notifications, you can get it and you can be along with us, especially as we are in this season. It's hot one day, cold another day, snowing one day, blizzards. It is so important. All you got to do is go to ebcnc.com, that homepage, and go up to the right-hand corner, and it's got those different icons that are there, and it will show you step-by-step how to get our app. So I encourage you to download that. We've got so much that's going on our website. We've got our Monday Manas, Tuesday Noonday Bible Study, Wednesdays Virtual Bible Study at 7 o'clock, going through the Book of Luke and going through Genesis in our Noonday Bible Study. And then in our in-person services, we actually have on 6 o'clock on Thursdays, we're going through the Book of 2 John now, and the Lord is just blessed. We went through the entirety of 1 John, 2 John, we'll hit 3 John, and then just as the Lord leads, we'll hit another book as we're just studying together, growing in the Lord. Also, want to thank you so much for your giving, as always. We really hold this, 2 Corinthians 9:7. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or necessity, for God loves, here it is, a cheerful giver. If you're in the chat, can you just type out cheerful? We're going to be using you today, cheerful. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. And I'm a witness. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above what we can dare ask or think. So we thank you so much for all that you're doing, all that you will do. And I just praise the Lord that He is a provider. Anybody know that He is a provider? He is a wonderful, wonderful provider. Well, I'm ready. I am ready to get into the Word, but I want our hearts to be prepared as we just process how blessed we are in 2023. We'll see you soon.
Morning, church. I'll be reading from Luke 2:1. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring to you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. May the word of the Lord add up. Bless his word.
Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plains and the mountains in reply, echoing their joyous strains.
I just want you to put in the chat, hallelujah. I know it's a big word. Just write it down as best you can. Hallelujah. Just giving him high praise for all that he's done. Well, we're back together. We're continuing in this series that we've been here and just digging in how to renew our mind, how the Lord actually teaches us. I've been growing in the Lord, just learning to submit more to him and recognizing all of the ways that he intervenes in our life. Just the other day, I was at this particular place, and I've just been trying to hear the voice of the Lord, that still small voice, and God set up some circumstances, and I was able to really realize, okay, Lord, this is your voice. I'll do what you would have me to do. And that's what that renewal of mind is, that we can really just trust the Lord with our whole heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to step out in faith. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that. Don't forget about our memory scripture. I pray that you got it. Deep down in your heart, remember, we're reading it aloud, so it'll get into our mind and seep down, that we can use it in a powerful way as the Spirit of God leads us. So if you get focused in Romans 12:2, if you read it with me, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It's amazing. If you're still having trouble with that, write it down. Writing helps in that process also, but we want to be in that transformative process that God is doing on the inside of us. Before we go any further, I just want you to go in a word of prayer with me as we just continually welcome God's grace and mercy in our lives. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day that you've made. Lord, it is a new year, at least according to our calendars. And I just thank you, Father, for just allowing us to still stay connected. This platform has been a blessing, Lord, and we know it's not by our might nor our power, but it's by your Spirit. And so, Holy Spirit, we just ask you to take control. If there's anybody looking in and listening right now that doesn't know you, I pray that their hearts be touched, convicted, that they will cry out, what must I do to be saved? that they will confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, you've raised them from the dead and you said they would be saved. Lord, thank you for that immense grace through faith, not of ourselves, but the gift that you've given the elect. You are so, so wonderful. Now, Father, I just thank you for your gift of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, would you teach us and guide us and lead us into all truth? Would you make this word so plain, so easy to be understood, that even a small child can be transformed to be like you? Lord, thank you for growing us. We give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we've been continuing with Paul the Apostle in that Acts chapter 9. Remember, we get to see his early conversion process on that Damascus road, and we're going to continue and wrap it up today. Acts 9:31. Then the churches throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. Listen to it again, Acts 9:31. Then the churches throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplying. I want to speak from a title today, The New Life. Yes, the new life for a new year. As we get into this section of scriptures portion, I'm just going to do a little review. We kind of skipped the Sunday, at least together, in this book of Acts, this ninth chapter. So just bring us up to the point. From last Sunday, we were focusing in on Acts 9:17. And Ananias, you remember him, went his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And we talked about that, embracing the call, really hearing the voice of the Lord and doing what he tells us to do. Just some points in review from that message: answer the call, the prayer connection, preconceptions, no more excuses, no pain, no gain, blind but now I see, and fellowship. Time frame, 35 AD. As said earlier, Saul, as Paul, has been changed on that Damascus road. His sight has been restored to him, for on that Damascus road, he was blinded. God had him to be 3 days where he did not eat. He didn't drink. He was just blinded at that point. And then Ananias comes in, lays hands on him. And from that point, Saul/Paul, he is on focus. He is focused on doing that which God would have him to do. And so we're going to pick up to see what the new life is all about. And this is wonderful that God has given us the example of seeing this Saul being changed. And now he's Paul the Apostle, the one that's sent out, and what God is doing in him and also can do in us. Let's jump into this section, Acts 9:20, the new life. Immediately, Saul preached the Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. I want you to get that. Immediately, he preached the Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. This is amazing to me when I think about it, simply because we use that interchangeable Saul and Paul, that name change, which is really signifying that whole conversion process in his life. But he does this immediately. Here's a point I want you to get out of this: the mandate. Yes, the mandate. This is critical to really embracing, as we learned on Sunday before last, our call. The call that God has put on all of our lives. If we are Christians, there's a call that's been put on our lives. Just want to define this. The mandate means an official order or commission to do something. An official order or commission to do something. When I was in the military, I had an official order. I was commissioned to do a particular job. There, I had top secret clearance, and I was able to do some things for the government, this whole process, but I was commissioned to do that. The Lord put this on my heart, and I want you to get it, and I've said this often. This is kind of a reoccurring thing. It speaks to my heart. As a Christian, we are called to preach/proclaim the news that Jesus is the Son of God. When I was enlightened as a baby Christian, I realized that, you know, a lot of times we think about preaching, oh, that's for the pastors or that's for the ministers that are in the pulpit. No, all of us, that preach means to proclaim, to tell people that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. All of us have that mandate, whether you can flow well, whether you have a lot of education, no education, money or no money. If you have been saved, you have the mandate to share Christ. You have the mandate to tell people that Jesus is Lord, and most importantly, to show that within your life. Look at that Acts 9:20 again. Immediately he preached, here it is, the Christ. Christ meaning the anointed one in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. This is the crux of our faith. That which Saul / Paul was fighting against, now he is proclaiming. That which he was thinking was a farce, now he is saying this is truth, that Jesus is the Messiah, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus spoke these words in Matthew 12:33, and this is coming forth in Paul's life at this point, and we're going to talk about it a little later. A good tree produces only good fruit, and a bad tree produces bad fruit. You can tell what a tree is like by the fruit it produces. What is your life about? When people look at your life and your family look at your life, what do they say? It's so often people live double lives. Yes, yes, yes. Double lives. Can you put double in the chat wherever you sit and just say double? They live one way or look one way on a particular day of a week, but the remainder of their life, they're living something else. It's hypocrisy. It's duplicity that's going on. Also, are we preaching the good news? Are we proclaiming the good news that Jesus saves, especially in this dark, cold time? Paul would later write in 1 Corinthians 1:23, but we preach Christ crucified. To the Jews, a stumbling block, and to the Greeks, foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. 1 Corinthians 1:25, because the foolishness of God is wiser than man, and the weakness of God is stronger than man. Our faith hinges on Christ. The fact that he did go to the cross of Calvary, he died on that cross. They put him in a cold grave and got up on the third day with all power. And now he has ascended to the right hand of the Father and he's praying for the church. That is the good news. That is the crux of gospel. The gospel. You cannot leave out Jesus. Jesus, that sweetest name above all other names. Please understand there's power in that process. That is the only way. That's the narrow way. As we walk in this new life, look at Acts 9:21 as we continue on. Then all who heard were amazed and said, is this not he who destroyed those who called on this name in Jerusalem and has come here for that purpose, so that he might bring them bound to the chief priest? Here's the point. We've been talking about it. A definite change. Yes, in this new life, there is a definite change. There will be a difference in us. And I would say, even if you've been a Christian for a long time, there should be definite change to becoming more like Christ. You're like, well, Pastor, how do I know that? Ask somebody. Ask them, do they see change in your life? But most importantly, you should see some change in your life. You should be looking at your life. There should be more prayers, more scripture reading, more focus, more calmness. That doesn't mean that we're perfect. We're going to have issues. There are going to be struggles. We're going to talk about that a little later. But please understand, there is a definite change as we see here in Paul. He is not the same man he was before the Damascus Road. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, there it is, he is a new creation, the new life. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. What things have you left in the past? Paul here, he's left a whole life in the past to walk in the newness of life with Christ. This is so wonderful, because now everybody around him can see this definite change. The world must recognize that there's a difference in us. They must recognize, yes, we have flaws, we have issues, we fail from time to time, but when they look at the totality of our life, they can say, you know what? They have walk with the Lord. They are walking with the Lord. They are hearing the voice of the Lord. 1 John 3:1, I love this. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called, listen to this, the children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Isn't that good? Behold, that manner of love God has bestowed upon us in this new life. Acts 9:22. But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who dwelt in Damascus, proving that this Jesus is the Christ. Here's another point. Growth. Yes, growth. Now, as we're going to look at this scripture in a way, I want you to get this growing is not necessarily he was doing push-ups or anything of that sort or just running. This is spiritual growth. And so often we can spend a lot of time with our bodies and exercising and making sure they look good on the outside, but we're not exercising that spirit, man. This is important. Growth is important within our lives. Even though Saul is a Pharisee of a Pharisee in his former life, that means that he was very knowledgeable in religion. He was often required to memorize a majority of the 5 books of the Bible, the Torah, all of those process in there. He still needed to grow. Just because you went to a Ivy League university doesn't mean that you don't need to grow in the Lord. Just because you came from a good family doesn't mean you don't need to grow in the Lord. All of us have to grow in the Lord. Let me show you 1 Peter 2:1. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. I ask you, are you desiring more of God's word? That is a growth stamp. If you don't desire God's word, first of all, you need to make sure that you're saved, that you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, because when you've been changed, when God is on the inside, you have to have God's word. 1 Peter 2:3, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Anybody know that he's gracious? He's good. Just put in the chat, he is good. I am telling you, when God has done something in your life, you will never be the same. Have you grown to the point of really being able to share your faith in a powerful way? Ask yourself, when is the last time you shared your faith? When is the last time someone was impacted by your excitement about Jesus? We don't all the times have to tell them verbally, but there should be something that's about our life, that's going on in our life, that people can know those people are different. Everyone may not accept it, but when you walk in the power of God, they know that you've been changed. I was blessed the other day. One of my neighbors came across the street and they began to talk to me, and then they were like, I saw you last night. I'm like, you didn't see me last night? And it was like, no, I was on one of your virtual Bible studies the Wednesday night. And I'm like, oh my goodness, my neighbor had seen something in my life and looked it up, because I don't remember ever telling him about the website, found it and said, I was blessed by that Bible study. We are all of example, and whether we tell people or not, people are looking at what we do more than what we say. Are there any amens out there? Looking at what we do more than what we say. Look at Acts 9:23, the new life. Now, after many days were passed, the Jews plotted to kill him. Can you put in the chat, kill him? Wherever you're sitting, say kill him. This is critical. We see this growth process. We see him excited about the Lord. Acts 9:24. But their plot became known to Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and let him down through the wall in a large basket. Here's another point. The enemy. Yes, the enemy. I would like to tell you that as we walk in this new life and you're focused on the will of God, wanting to hear the Lord more and seeing God change you, that the devil is going to leave you alone, the enemy is going to leave you alone, but it's just not going to happen. The enemy likes to mess with us. He likes to attack us emotionally. He knows our past. He'll use whatever he can use, people around us, to slow us down, because he doesn't want us to be used as a tool of the Lord. Saul is actually back with his old friends sharing Christ, and he knows that group. He knows how they're thinking, and so God is using this to share Jesus, that he's real. He's able to use their text to really defend the fact that Jesus died on that cross and got up with all power, and is in it. His friends at this point, they don't want to accept this. They all they can remember is his old life, and so they desire to kill him. Isn't this just like their father? John 10:10 tells me who they were focused with. It said the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and destroy, but I've come that they may have life and that they may have it abundantly. Saul at this point is sharing Christ that they can have life and life more abundantly, and these old acquaintances and friends, they want to kill him. They want to take that spark out of him. The Jews were rooted in their religion and their flesh, and they would not submit to the Messiah for the majority of them. They had decided that the acclaim and being lifted up of men was more powerful than falling at the Savior's feet. Jesus spoke this of John in John 15:18. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. I'm telling you, if you are embracing the world and the world is embracing you, there is a problem. John 15:19. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. I'm talking about this new life. John 15:20, remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. We're going to go through. If they kept my word, they will keep yours. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. I'm talking about the new life. It's going to be some struggles. There's going to be some fighting through in our lives. But I want you to know that if God be for you, he's more than the whole world is against you. As we walk with the Lord, the enemy is going to try to trip us up. But anybody know that God is faithful? Be encouraged. 1 Peter 4:12 says it like this: Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. Please understand, we go through it. Sometimes things don't seem to work out. We've been praying for stuff, we've been fasting for things, and they just don't turn out the way we want it. Just realize God is still in control. Let me show you that 13th verse. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. I dare you right now, whatever you're going through, just to give God the praise and know that he has already worked it out. And since you know that he's already worked it out, won't you just say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for who you are. 1 Peter 4:14. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the spirit of glory and of God rest upon you. On their part, he is blasphemed, but on your part, he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, as a busybody in other people's matters. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify in this matter, for the time has come, listen to this, for judgment to begin in the house of God. Yes, I'm talking about the new life. So many times we have put up this screen, but we got to look at those who we fellowship with. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Man, this scripture really shook me up as a baby Christian, this 18th verse. Now, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, somebody just scream out, scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner be? Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good as to a faithful creator. This is Saul. He is focused. He is centered on the will of God, the new life. Look at Acts 9:26. And when Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas, I love that 27th verse, took him and brought him to the apostles, and he declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. So he was with them at Jerusalem, coming in and going out. Here's the point. The fellowship is serious. Yes. The fellowship is serious. Saints, I think one of the biggest atrocities that have entered into the church is that there's a division that you can come to places and you can sit, but people are not connecting one with another. It's sad, and it's happened to me, when you can go to a place of fellowship, a physical building in church, and sit down and not get to know people that are around you. I found out a trend in in-person services. Most people, when they come in, they usually like a particular place and they kind of camp out. They make it their home. So every Sunday that they come, they go to that same area. And some see that as a little fam, a little small group, and they begin to know other folks. But some people just don't connect because they don't understand how serious the fellowship is. It wasn't easy in that time and that season to get into the fellowship of the believers. No, today, you know, you can just come and we have seeker friendly churches where people can just kind of come in. There's no pressure that's put on them, and they're invited and they accept Jesus. That's great if it's true and it's real, but it was not like that in the early church. Please understand, you just did not come into the fellowship. You actually got converted on the outside, saved, and once the fruits were seen, then you were invited in to the fellowship. Acts 9:26, and when Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him. Even though he has the new life, they're like, okay, we remember you from the past, and we want to make sure that you're not just trying to be a spy and come in and mess up things, and did not believe that he was a disciplined follower. That's what disciple means, that he was really all about Jesus. But they're so good to know that even in this, there was somebody called Barnabas and said, you know what, I'll stand up for him. I've been connected. I heard about his testimony, and I believe I've seen God work in his life. Saints, I believe that we're in a season that we need to learn to inspect fruit. I know you're like, Pastor, can I really look at fruit? I was just doing some research, and I just wanted to give you a picture of a apple tree. And this is a specific type of apple tree. It's actually called a 5-in-1. Yes, a 5-in-1. That means that it has 5 different forms of apples on the same tree. It's amazing what we can do now. And in this process, when you saw that, you may not know all the different types of apples that are on there, but you can tell the kind of it, that it is an apple tree, because fruit is coming out. If you look in the grass, you can see that the fruit is falling in the grass. And I just want to put forth all of us who are living this new life. We gotta produce fruit. People need to see fruit. We actually have an ornamental apple tree in our backyard, and that thing, all it does is just bloom. It's beautiful, blooms on it. And we waited before we found out it was ornamental, that it was not going to bear fruit, years and years and years. But this 5-in-1, please understand, within a year, it begins to put apples, mature apples out. Isn't that like God to want to use us? And we can actually see that fruit in our lives and others. Matthew 7:15, it says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them, here it is, by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. That's just the way it is. That's the way God has set it forth. When we go forth in him, good fruit is going to come forth. If we're not in him, bad fruit. 7:18, a good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by these, their fruits, you will know them. You see that? We've got to be better at inspecting the fruit. We've got to be better in looking in our lives and saying, Lord, use me that I can have 5-in-1, that I can have all types of fruit that's coming off, and that people can be blessed by God using me and using you. Look at Acts 9:27. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. He declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. I'm telling you, isn't it good to have serious fellowship where you've got brothers and sisters that can come around you and vouch for you? I've been blessed over these almost 25 years being pastor. I've grown not just being a pastor, but being able to connect with true people who love the Lord. I've seen them go through some issues issues and losses in their lives and struggles in their lives. But all through that, I've seen God shine powerfully. That's what fellowship is all about. That's what family is all about. Acts 9:28, look at that last part. It said coming in and going out. And when he was accepted into the fellowship, because it was serious, it was family. They were connected together. That early church was sticking together like glue. Yes, yes, they were mended together. Let me show you in Hebrews 10:24 that talks about how serious fellowship is. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. I believe a lot of people are going through because they just don't have serious fellowship. Thank God for this virtual connection. But even in this virtual connection, you need to have a small group. You need to have some saints that are around you that can touch you, embrace you, encourage you, to let you know that it's going to be okay. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another. Here it is. And so much today, more as you see the day approaching. Do you see the day approaching as our government seems to be breaking down in so many areas? As we see this Ukraine war and Russian war continue on, as we see famine in India and other parts, as we see global warming happen and all kinds of things that are occurring, when we see different parties opposing one another, I'm telling you, he is coming back. Serious fellowship must take place. I'm talking about the new life. The early church was known for this wonderful fellowship. Acts 2:46, so continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. Yes, they broke bread together. They were inviting people. It was that picture of many of you grew up where you could go down the street and cousin was over here and somebody you knew was over here. There was a sharing process because they were united in serious fellowship, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. If we want revival, we've got to connect. We've got to live a new life in this new year. We've got to decide, God, I am all in. Use me for your service. Let me sum this up. Acts 9:29, and he spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus, and disputed against the Hellenists. Those were of Grecian background, but they attempted to kill him. There it is. When the brethren found out, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him out to Tarsus, his hometown. And then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. Final point, the journey. Yes, the journey. As we are entering in and we are here in 2023, it is a journey. And I want you to know, I don't want any of us to waste any more time. I want us to realize if you are saved, there's a mandate in your life. If you are saved, God is calling you to embrace all that he is speaking into you. Our life as a Christian has its good days and its bad days, but God has left us here for a purpose. We must continually say, Lord, it is all about you. That's why I'm so glad that God had allowed these scriptures to be there so that we could see this conversion process and what the new life looks like. A theologian Henson writes of this section, one great period of persecution has ended. Others will follow, but for now the church has weathered its first great storm, withstood its first great critics, and won its first great adversary, Saul of Tarsus. Anybody know that God is so good? When are we going to decide, God, I want to be used. God, use me to speak to my neighbor. Use me to speak to my coworker. It is all worth it. That's why the life of Jesus resonates in my mind over and over, because he showed us what a brand new life is all about. Him coming from heaven to earth, walking among men, healing the sick and raising the dead, and not stopping there, but making his way to the cross of Calvary after he was beaten for us, and on that cross of Calvary, carrying our sins and bearing our creeds. I'm talking about the new life. He paid for our new life, dying on the cross of Calvary, putting him in the cold grave, but he got up on the third day with all power and all glory. There ought to be some shouts of praise. Say, thank you, God, for the new life. As we go forth, God wants to use us over and over, more and more, that people can see the fruit in our lives, that people can see that we have been saved, delivered, and set free. Fannie Jane Crosby wrote this in 1820. She came out with these powerful lyrics. And in her career as writing these, it showed that she knew about Jesus. She knew the Lord. She said, "Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit, washed in the..." Are there any blood washed folks that are out there? I dare you just to lift up your hand and say, I'm one of them. I know about the new life. Perfect submission, perfect delight. Visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above. Echoes of mercy, whispers of love. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. Anybody lost in his love today? This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. The new life. Yes, the Lord wants to use you and me in a wonderful, amazing, powerful, supernatural way. But what will be your choice? First, are you saved? No, are you really saved? Not that you're associated with somebody that's saved. Not that you're even connected with a church that's saved. But are you saved? How do you know that? Have you confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Have you embraced through faith that he is risen and he's praying for you? And do you see those fruits in your life? Man, if you're wondering about that right now, why go any longer? Would you confess Jesus right now? Just say, "Jesus, I'm a sinner. I've messed up. Gone to church. I've quoted scriptures, sang songs, but I haven't been changed. There's no fruit of righteousness in my life. Lord, would you groom me to be a 5-in-1? Would you help the fruits of righteousness come forth in my life?" I tell you, he'll save you as you proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord. And he's coming back. So for the saints, why wait? This is our day. This is our season. 2023. We could come up with pithy sayings, but please understand, it's the same saying. God has told us to go forth into all the world and preach the gospel. Proclaim the good news that Jesus Christ died, was put in a cold grave, but got up on the third day with all power and glory. What are you doing for the kingdom? Should I say it this way? What is God doing through you for the kingdom? What is God doing through you for the kingdom? There should be some definitive answers to that. God wants to use you in 2023, just as he wanted to use you in 2022. It's all about, will we submit to his way and walk in the new life? Would you pray with me? Father, I just thank you for this word, Lord. Thank you for the example of this man of God that was changed from an old life to a new life. Lord, thank you for the change that is taking place in our lives. Lord, help us to stop making excuses. Help us to get on this journey, to have serious fellowship, to make some decisions now. Not to push it off to February or March or April or even next year, but to decide now. Not a New Year's resolution per se, but a life resolution. That we have decided to follow Jesus. Oh, what blessed assurance. We give you praise, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hark the herald angels sing, Jesus, the light of the world. Glory to the newborn King. Jesus, the light of the world, we'll walk in the light, beautiful light, come where the dewdrops of mercy are bright, shine all around us by day and by night, Jesus, the light of the world. us the light of the world. Hail the Son of Righteousness, Jesus, the light of the world. We'll walk in the light, beautiful light, the heavenly lamps of mercy are bright. Shine all around us, my name, my name. Jesus, the light of the world. We'll walk in the light,
to be able to share this time of communion with you. Even before we started, I always talk to Bianca like, we good, just to make sure that there is nothing that we're holding within our heart. And also with our family and friends, taking communion is so powerful to, you know, let go of the past and step into the new as we walk in this new life. And so I encourage you to get your communion articles wherever you are, and whatever you're holding, let it go. We want to make sure that we are taking this in the proper manner. I just want to read some scriptures to you and quote portions of it, simply so we can get the right mindset. Paul the Apostle gets a revelation, just got through talking about him, of just this powerful connection with God. He says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take ye, this is my body which is broken for you. As often as you do this in remembrance of me.'" And this taking of this bread, I want you to be thinking about that body that was broken. He said, "This is my blood. This was the blood of the new covenant that I shed for you on that cross of Calvary. As often as you take that juice, you do it in remembrance of me." And then he gets down there and says, "Because this is so serious, for let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats judgment to himself." We don't want judgment. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and it said, some even sleep. That means because they didn't take this seriously, it seems to indicate in the scriptures they were taken away. But if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we're chastened by the Lord, we're not condemned with the world. In essence, just trying to sum that up, is God is like, we can get this right. When we take of this communion, we can really think about who God is and his purification process that's happening in us. So at this point, I'm just going to ask Bianca, as we take communion together, if she would pray over the bread and pray over the juice as we think about Christ and all that he's done for us.
Let's pray. Lord, we praise you and thank you for your Son, Jesus, who died on the cross for our sins, Lord. We thank you for his blood that was shed, that is now represented by the juice that is in our cups. And Lord, we thank you for his body that was broken, which is now symbolized in this bread that we are about to partake of, Lord. We thank you that through his death, his burial, and his resurrection, we now have a right to have a relationship with you. We ask that you would bless these articles that symbolize your greatest gift. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, as we take that bread, if you have your communion cups or you got your own bread or your juice, I just want you to hold it up and I want you to break it. As Jesus went into the upper room with his disciples, he said, "This is my body that's going to be broken for you. As often as you eat it, let's do it in remembrance of him." Let us eat together. He grabs that goblet. It's generally shared amongst the disciples, and he picks it up and he brings new life to it. He says, "This represents my blood that's going to be shed for you. As often as we drink, Let us do it in remembrance of him. Let us drink together. What can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make us whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. Oh, precious is that flow. I encourage you to embrace all that Jesus has for you as we enter into this new year with Christ. You be blessed.